proclaiming the gospel to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Shalom and welcome to the Everlasting Nation, a radio ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions.
This is Mark Oshman with the International Board of Jewish Missions, bringing you another radio Bible study. In our last session, we began a series upon making vows. Today we consider what a vow is like as regulated by the law of Moses. Now, vows existed before God even issued the Mosaic Law. An example can be found in Genesis chapter 28. When Jacob set out for his uncle Laban in Paddan Aram, he told God that, quote, "If God will be with me and will keep me in the way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God," unquote. Jacob also promised to build what he termed God's house at Bethel, which he did, as well as bestow one-tenth of his earnings to God, which he might or might not have done. God codified the subject of making vows in the book of Leviticus. According to the 22nd chapter of that book, those Jews who presented burnt offerings accompanying their vows needed to present God, quote, "a male without blemish, of the beeves, of the sheep, or of the goats," unquote. God decreed in the 7th chapter of Leviticus that all who brought offerings with their vows had to consume their sacrifices on the same day that they offered them. Certain vows had special significance. Leviticus chapter 27 referred to an estimation, or a table of rates, an estimation imposed upon Jews who made a, quote, "singular vow," that is to say, a vow that was extraordinary in its nature. The narrative contained in 2 Kings might serve as an example of how this regulation worked in practice. In 2 Kings chapter 12, we read about Jewish people who dedicated their money for the repair of the temple. Numbers chapter 13 gave instructions relating to women who made vows. If the woman had not married, her vow would not be binding, if her father disallowed that vow. For a married woman who made a vow, however, her oath would not stand if her husband disallowed it. However, widowed and divorced women who put forth vows would have to keep those vows. The 6th chapter of Numbers alluded to a special type of vow taken by individuals who desire to become Nazarites. The term Nazarite should not be confused with the appellation Nazarene, meaning from Nazareth. Nazarite comes from a Hebrew verb meaning to consecrate or to separate. It has no linguistic connection with the word Nazarene. God placed several restrictions on a person who took a Nazarite vow. That individual needed to abstain from wine and strong drink. He could not cut his hair or come near a dead body. The text of Numbers chapter 6 implied that anyone who took a Nazarite vow need not do so for the entirety of his life. At the end of the term as a Nazarene, the person bringing that vow needed to take offerings to a priest in the tabernacle. The Nazarite would shave his head in the tabernacle, symbolizing the termination of his Nazarite vow. Samson was committed to be a Nazarite from his birth, according to Judges 13. Nonetheless, Samson was notorious for violating his Nazarite vows. For example, he touched the dead body of a lion to gather honey. The Mosaic Law regulated those procedures which govern the making of vows. God thereby ensured that the Jewish nation, his peculiar treasure, would do things decently and in order. This is Mark Oshman with the International Board of Jewish Missions, presenting another radio Bible program.
You've been listening to the Everlasting Nation, a ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions. For more information, you can contact us at 423-876-8150 or go online to ibjm.org. Until next time, may God bless and shalom.